Coming up on TMS, do buffaloes have wings? Because I, like, really wanted to know.
Winner Jr.
If you wanted to join today, then wait till Wednesday.
Northwest is my favorite beer.
Shazam, you know, with Sinbad.
Dreaming in Diablo.
How does Google Form work?
I bought my cake and ate it too.
This meal doesn't make me happy.
A rather tedious service.
99 pig balloons.
Oh, how the turns have tabled.
If they're not real, do they count as fake?
Superman Under the Gun with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I'm so saved I can swing across hell on a rotten corn stalk and spit in the devil's eye and all the while singing Amazing Grace and still arrive in the glories of heaven.
No. No deal.
The Morning Stream. Is it just me, or does the jungle make you really, really horny?
Good morning and welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Monday, March 20th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Abbott. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in a good mood today. I have a lot to get done, but somehow I'm in the mood to do it. I don't know how that's possible. I played a lot of Diablo this weekend, and I feel like that's almost all I did. And even though that's not true, I got a lot of other stuff done. I still feel like that's a lot of what my life was. So I'm kind of dreaming in Diablo. I got like,
oh no, that's the worst.
Yeah, all that stuff. So all the game, I feel like I'm talking to NPCs and getting work done out in the killing demons. That feels like that's my life right now. Did you get a chance to play it all?
I had a chance to download it. As I mentioned, I think on FilmSec, new ISP getting installed today because CenturyLink has pooped the bed with speed. And if we're doing anything remotely, you know, using internet in the house, like our TV upstairs using Netflix or whatever, then this computer here and a lot of the computers in the house that I don't have set to priority just drag on slowly, even with a wired connection. So I do regular like testmy.net runs, and it's pathetic. I'm paying for 80/20, and I rarely get more than 20 down, 20 up.
So. Oh, geez. So your up's pretty consistent, but your down is kind of sucking. Yeah.
Down sucking.
So today you get a new ISP, right? Is that the
new
deal?
New ISP. Yep.
And who is it, somebody like national? Is it like a local thing?
It's a company that has the unfortunate name of TDS. I find their service to be tedious.
Yeah, very tedious.
Customer service, very tedious. But
really TDS? That's hilarious.
TDS. For a while, we had them before we switched to DSL with CenturyLink. And whenever it snowed, they had days of service interruption, like a full day. And that's when I had to do that hookup thing with crazy neighbor next door where we ran an Ethernet cable from his house to mine.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That worked in a pinch. You got the job done.
It worked great, yeah. So that was my first question to them when we started getting the offers. It's like, all right, here's the, you know, do you guys have service outages every time we go down or every time it snows? And they said, no, we don't have those anymore. I know the problems you were talking about. We've gotten our infrastructure really improved for that. So,
well, that's good. I'm excited for you to have a little bump there. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I'm still sort of waiting for fiber while our stupid HOA decides whether they want to allow it or not. But, I'll take what I can get in the meantime.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to have you all here, everybody. Welcome to a Monday show. Plenty to talk about, lots to do. Let's start with this.
Stand back and check your personal belongings. It's time for the Morning Forum.
That's right, the Morning Forum. We did this for the first time last week. And on the weekly, we put it out there that we're going to do a little bit of a contest and give away something free. And last week it was a Frog Pants print and sticker pack. Who knows what it'll be next time? Well, I actually do know, and I'll tell you in a second.
We do know.
Yeah, we actually do know. But we have a winner. It is Keith B. Keith B., you're the big winner. We pulled you at random. And I wanted to tell you some of these stuff. So this last one was favorite alien type in a movie or whatever. And we had options like the alien from Alien, E.T., the Predator, all that kind of stuff. And here's the interesting percentage breakdown. By far, and well, I shouldn't say by far. There's a bit of a tie here, but something not listed here and then putting in their own answers.
Yeah.
Was 23.4% of the vote.
And, so just people saying other, not necessarily what they chose as other, but the fact that they chose other was 23%.
Yeah, and some put their, some answered, put actual answers, but I don't know how to see them in this form because I don't know how Google Form works. Google Form is weird. Let's see if it actually says anywhere. Does it say?
It should. Yeah, if you added a field, which it looked like you did, added a field to the end of it for other.
There's a huge list under questions where it gives me the name of the person who responded. And then I can click on their responses. And then let me see what it says.
Oh, switch it to a spreadsheet view because it'll create a Google sheet with all the answers.
Oh, how do you do this here? Let's see. It's a form defaults. Good. No, we don't want that. Let's see. Questions. Okay, that's not it.
I'm trying to remember. It's usually, I think it's an icon at the top that says view results as spreadsheet. And it's got the little sheets icon.
Oh, I can download a link to sheets. Create a spreadsheet. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's easy. All right, so I did that. And then Firefox prevented this from happening. Why? Okay, well, anyway, I'll see if I can get some of these down.
Yeah,
but the point is,
able to see all the other answers, because that's exactly what I use for Feud. There's no way I'd be able to do it if I didn't turn it into a spreadsheet.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, I'm pulling it up now. Here we go. I got a CSV here, basically. Okay. Let's see, and I can sort by that. All right, so what we got from the larger percentage of answers, if I can find the effing thing, and now I lost that page. This is great. This is all going good. It's exactly how I hoped it would go.
That was perfect. Well done. Excellent. Yeah,
excellent work, everyone. Oh, here we go. Okay, I got the pie chart again. So 23.4% all listed something individual, which I'll get to in a second. Right up its tail there, 22.9% of the vote went to the alien from Alien. The Xenomorph.
Good. Yep.
You know, the Predator, pretty close behind that with 11.2% was the next one. 5.3% for E.T. Next in line was the Theramins or Thermanians or however you say it from Galaxy Quest.
Thermians.
Thermians. Oh. Yeah, we are here, happy to hear those guys.
The Nicholas Colasanti or whatever that guy's name is. Colatoni. Nicholas Colatoni.
The smallest percentage went to the Super 8 alien. I thought that was cooler than people are giving it credit for. The Thing was in there at about 2.7%. Anyway, District 9 aliens, whole bunch of these, but let's just see what some of the creative responses.
Sure.
It says the one from Nope.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Brian's.
You haven't seen Nope yet, right?
I still haven't seen Nope, although Taylor and Dylan saw it over the weekend and are telling me I must see it. So I guess I'll watch it. We got one from JC Calhoun who says your mom.
Oh, nice.
Here's my favorite from somebody named Mr. Kevin, Brian's penis.
Okay, sure.
I assume he means you're the Brian. And
I would assume so. Yeah. Yes. And, it's still up for debate as to whether that's an extraterrestrial form or not, but,
it feels terrestrial to me.
It does have a mind of its own.
Right.
Unfortunately.
And it may go to other planets eventually and that sort of thing. And right, then it'll become extraterrestrial for those people.
It can operate a speak and spell.
That's
if
right.
If that's any consolation.
We got the aliens from Toy Story, aliens from Arrival, Salacious E. B. Crumb from the Star Wars.
Basically, anything from Star Wars, right?
Yeah. The original Blob.
I mean, technically, Luke's an alien.
Is the Blob from the original Blob movie, that was an alien? I didn't realize that.
I guess it was, right? Came down in a meteor?
I guess so. Killer Clowns from Outer Space, that counts. Asgard from Stargate. Let's see. Boobs. We got from someone said boobs.
Sure.
Those are sort of alien for them.
Now you get to experience the joy of these like I see in the Feud answers.
I was going
to
say, this reminds me of that. And maybe, Brian, I'm guessing some of these are the same people.
I would think that they are, yes.
Yeah. War of the Worlds aliens, that's pretty good. Zoidberg, Chewbacca. Lots of good answers. Stitch. Someone said Stitch, so be happy there.
Good. I do agree about the alien from the Xenomorph from the Alien franchise. I think that is the coolest alien.
Drac from Enemy Mine. I like that. That's a deep cut. I like that. Well, anyway, that's a pretty good list. So we picked a winner at random. So this wasn't any, it wasn't due to your answer. You just got picked at random here. And that random pick was Keith B. And Keith B., you're the winner.
Congratulations. You're nice. A winner.
Here's what I'm going to do. I will email you and contact you and get your info because you sent me an email. So I'll reply to you there. And you'll get your pack. And that'll go out ASAP as soon as I talk to you. Next week. All right. So next Monday, we're giving away a GURP and Henry postcard. Oh, it's just out of reach here. I can't reach it. I'd show you otherwise. And a the Cantina Band art I did for Brian and the CD him and Andrew did.
Yeah.
I have a few of those left.
Cantina Star Wars jazz music.
Yeah. One of my favorite things I got to do. And they both look real good. They're about 5x7. And we'll send those to a lucky winner next week. All you have to do is go to frogpants.com/themorningform.
Mm.
Sign up for all that lowercase. Shit. Yeah, all lowercase. That's right. I did it again, didn't I, where I put it?
You did. You totally did.
Why do I do that?
But it's not like we used that link. I mean, I clicked it to see, oh, maybe he fixed it so it's got a redirect.
No, I'm an idiot. No, I'm going to do it now so I remember to say. Actually, maybe it's easier to remember because it's all when the caps are there, it reminds us to tell people that it's that right, it is yeah. lowercase. But anyway, so it's frogpants.com/themorningform, all lowercase. And you can sign up right now. In fact, if you're in the chat and you're hearing this live, get in there and give us your answer. It's I should tell you the subject. It's best primetime TV animated series. Ooh.
Nice. Or as you wrote it, best primey time.
TV. Primey time. I mean, yep.
Primey
hey,
time.
Hey, y'all, it's primey time. Get
primey
ready.
Time.
Anyway, go sign up for that and get in there. We'd love to send you something free. Okay? All right. Cool. Brian, I got a voicemail to play. Would you like to hear what got left
on
the machine?
I would love to hear it. Yes.
All right. I came into the TMS apartment down in downtown, and I walked in, and the light was blinking, and I hit play.
It's a little flashing 01 on the LED readout on top of that answering machine. Excellent.
Yep. Good stuff. So I'm going to play it here, and we'll see what's going on with Gary, formerly of Lantronics, formerly of Lot B, currently of, where is he now in the thing?
He's in Batuu.
Batuu.
He's that's right. Off planet at the Black Spire Outpost.
He had his ears perked up when we talked about Pink Floyd and concerts. And so here's what he had to say.
Hey, Scott and Brian. This is for TMS. It's the senior geek, Gary, here. You guys were talking about the fact that Pink Floyd played Dark Side of the Moon before. In concerts before they actually released the album. That was actually a pattern of theirs. I went to 3 different Pink Floyd concerts, and the one that I saw at the Santa Monica Civic, they played a bunch of music from Uma Guma, and then there was an intermission, and then they played the entire Dark Side of the Moon album before it was released. And then I saw another one at either the Forum or the Sports Arena in L.A., and there they played a bunch of older music and then finished up by playing Wish You Were Here. And the last one was at Anaheim Stadium. After that I swore off stadium concerts. But as I was driving into the parking lot, I was wondering why there was a giant pig balloon floating over the stadium, and they actually played Animals. It was a lot of fun and a long time ago. So just thought you That's might be interested, cool. in that. Interested in that. Thanks, Gary. never mind. Bye.
Okay, my favorite part of that was that he was ending it like he was finishing a text that he was dictating.
Yes, right. Signed, Gary.
Signed, Gary. Thank you. Love, Gary.
Sincerely, Gary. P.S.
So two things I take away from that. One, Gary's been around long enough to know what it's like to hear those guys before Dark Side of the Moon.
No kidding.
Which is awesome. Yeah. That's so cool to have had
really
that experience.
Awesome. Yeah.
And number two is I need an answer on this. Why did you swear off stadium concerts? What happened? He goes, that was right before I swore off stadium concerts. Then he didn't tell us why he did that.
I know.
Did you get frisked weird? Did you have a weird funky beer there or something? Like, what happened? We want to know.
Yeah.
Fill
I mean,
in.
It's probably the same reason you don't like them, and that I tend to shy away from them if possible as well, just because that many people, not great sound, but yeah.
It just feels like a big chaotic mess that you're not really getting your $150 worth from, to me. Like, that's 100% it. It feels like way more hassle than the money I'm paying is worth. And yeah. it's even more yeah. these days. Well, I guess back then I'd pay, like when I'd see, I saw Ozzy at the Salt Palace, that probably was $60 then or something.
Mm. But, this is going to be the year of concerts for me, oddly enough. I've got, I can't think of a time a year previous where I've had so many concert tickets pre-booked and prepaid for this year. But in 2 weeks, I'm seeing Muse. In a couple months, Crowded House. With, I think, Evanescence is with Muse. I can't remember who's playing with Crowded House. Then Semisonic, Bare Naked Ladies, and Delamitri. Hello, 90s.
Does Bare Naked come? They didn't come with the one dude. They're done, right?
Nope.
They,
Stephen Page and the rest of the band have parted ways for sure. Forever. Let's see. Duran Duran, I'm seeing. Kind of a bucket list band for me. I've never seen them live. And Sparks. Coming later this summer.
So, was it you that had tickets to see the Depeche Mode tour, or am I thinking of someone else I know?
Somebody else.
That's although, not you. Okay.
Although that would be, that's another bucket list. Another bucket list concert of mine would be Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
And none of them, and honestly, none of them are, tickets are more than $100, actually. I think.
That's pretty good.
Out of all those, Duran Duran is the most expensive, and maybe toppled over $100 with the Ticketmaster fees and all that garbage. I think they were 80 something.
Well, they're hungry like a wolf, Brian. They're going to get you
they
for
are,
what they can.
They are. And yeah. Yes. I mean, come on. Is there something I should know about your ticket prices? Because they're really not from planet Earth.
No. No, they are not. I'm sorry. Did you say this already? Do they have a new album to promote with this tour?
Probably. I think Duran Duran. Yeah, they've been cranking out albums left and right over the last several years. Trying to remember what the most recent one was called. Hammond and I covered them for Soundography, and they released something since that episode. So I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, probably something I better listen up on.
I'm always surprised.
I know it's going to be like, here's another one from our new album.
Mm-hmm. I'm always surprised how many of these bands are continually working and I'm just missing it. I just don't know about it, you know?
Yeah.
Like I knew, like I was super into them back in the day. Couldn't get enough. New album from Duran Duran. No way. I'm ready for it. Let's go. But these days it's like, oh, they've had 20 albums and you just slept through it. You didn't know.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
It's so weird to me. All right.
And we'll talk about my movie experience at the end of the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll do that. Oh, yeah, you saw a movie. We got it. Okay, we have to talk about that. Sorry, I missed that. Well, for now, we're doing this. Welcome to the show. One Brian Dunaway, who had a birthday yesterday.
Yay!
Happy birthday, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. Thank you.
Hi.
I did have a birthday. I made it around one more time.
Do you feel old? How do you feel?
Not because of my birthday, but yeah, I feel old.
Okay.
You don't feel old?
A little bit.
Christ.
Did you resin print yourself a birthday cake and alcohol wipe out the candles?
No, gross.
No.
Instead, I went to, what did we do? Oh, yeah, I went to Walmart because I was like, I need a birthday cake. Crap. I guess I better get on it.
Well, that's cool. You got your own cake? Did that happen?
Yeah, man. Of course I did.
You got your own cake?
I had to get my own birthday cake.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm in a weird place in life. You got to throw your own birthday parties. I bought my own Chinese food.
Have his cake and eat it, too.
Yeah.
Is the problem.
Yeah.
Buy, eat, and have your cake. They need to update the phrase, you know, because Brian's changed the rules.
Right.
Well, I'm glad.
If I don't throw myself a birthday party, who is?
Yeah, nobody. Exactly, right? You'd said something yesterday about how you threw your own party, basically, and part of that included hooking up a PlayStation 5. That's fun.
Oh, nice.
That was a good party. That was my favorite party.
Yeah.
That feels like a party.
That is a party.
Yeah.
But I guess you haven't played it yet.
And then I went through all the effort of hooking that up, downloading four or five AAA big title games.
Yeah.
And then I played Ape Escape.
Yep.
Instead.
So the PlayStation 1. Yeah. Yep.
Far Cry can wait. Spider-Man can wait. Just Cause can wait. I'm playing Ape Escape.
Yep. That's right.
That's right.
Well, we got
to look at those graphics.
We're covering it tomorrow on Play Retro, so we got to. Oh, he's got to do it. But that's how committed he is to that show. It's impressive. I played Diablo all weekend. It didn't touch Ape Escape, so I got to do that today. Anyway,
I could play God of War, but I didn't do it.
You could have.
I could wait a little longer.
Yeah. Have you never played the God of War, the first?
Not the new one.
Not the new one.
I played the first one completely through. The Ragnarok I have not played yet. Okay, I want to sit down on a Saturday and throw up idea. Shut up.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yep. You need one of those days where everybody's gone out of town for that weekend. You know?
Yes, yeah, totally.
Exactly.
I love those. They're so great. I don't like them for much longer, though, but I like them for, you know, 2-3 days.
Mm. 2-3 days.
I'm not a good,
house to yourself.
I'm not a good person. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm not a good person when my family's gone for more than a week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm a mess. I can't do it. I think Brian probably fares a little bit better than the rest of us, that is to say. Yeah. Because I don't know why I just get this impression. So, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'll bet you just are a better solo runner of life than I am.
I'd like to think so. Tina's, back when she was training for her investigations job, she had to be gone a month, and she would do like 30-day details where she'd be out in Alabama or in Pennsylvania or whatever for like 30 days.
It's a lot.
And I'd fly out like somewhere in the middle for a weekend or something with her. But the whole rest of the time, it's like, okay, taking care of, back then Tristan was a little kid, taking care of the kid, got to make the bed, got to empty the litter box, got to take the dog out, got to do. And maybe we'll just have Stouffer's pizza for dinner tonight. Maybe it'll just be those French bread pizzas that I can throw on the toast.
I would eat that.
I am the best when I have structure. And if no one is there, I'm kind of a slob. Mm. I'm kind of like, what do I care? I'll wash the clothes later.
We all know what we'd be like if we were bachelors. We know.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad you're with us today, because we're going to play a game. Brian's going to explain the rules. And if you're out there in the chat room and are thinking, man, I'd sure like to join today, this is your day. Oh, no, this isn't your day. Wednesday is your day.
If you're hoping to join today, well, tough luck.
Yep, put that in the back of your head. Come here Wednesday and do it again. That's how you'll get that done. Because today, that doesn't work that way. Today, Brian will explain the rules. That's right. We'll see if we can give away some prizes anyway. Brian, explain these rules to us, if you don't mind.
Darn right. Welcome to the morning half-asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving Scott and Brian the answers. Not that they'll need them for this first question, which is ridiculously easy. To give Scott and Brian a category and 6 possible answers, 3 of which are correct and 3 that are incorrect. Depending on how confident they feel with the category, they can provide 1, 2, or 3 guesses. Get any wrong, you get 0 points for that round. But if you get 1 right, you get a point. 2 right gets you 3 points. And getting all three correct answers gets you 5 freaking points. The player with the most points after 3 rounds wins the prize for their contestant. Want to know who our contestants are?
I do.
Well, I will tell you.
Okay.
Scott.
Yeah.
You're going to be praying,
both
are going to be praying for Brian in Lothian, Maryland.
All right.
Brian in Lothian, Maryland. Brian, you're going to be playing for Luke in Iowa. How funny.
Luke. Scott
playing for somebody named Brian. Brian is playing for somebody with the last name Johnson.
Oh, what the hell? Nice. This is weird. Some kind of twisted bullshit. I'm ready, though.
How the turns have tabled. All right, let's get to your first question here. Let's put some easy points on the board for both of you. I should skip this one because it's so damn easy, but we're going to do it anyway.
Oh, God.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Antagonists of the Smurfs. I'm going to give you 6 names, 3 of which are antagonists of the Smurfs, 3 of which are not. Your choices are Archimonde, Archimonde, Azrael, Gargamel, Mordane, Nefarian, and Manoroth. Which three are actual enemies of the Smurfs?
Manoroth.
3 of these?
3 of them.
Oh, I know 1.
Yeah, 3 of them. I know 2, maybe.
I think I'm...
And I'm going for a third. There we go.
Oh, I'm scared to do a third. I'm just going to do the 2. I don't know. I'm going to do the 2 that sound familiar to me.
You guys 100% locked in on Gargamel and Azrael, 100%. Those are absolutely. Yeah. The other 3, by the way, are World of Warcraft bosses. Archimonde, Nefarian, and Manoroth are... So Mordane is your other... enemy of the Smurfs. But the other 3 are World of Warcraft
Mordane
bosses.
Is always like... Mordane's like... He has a tiff with Gargamel, right? Isn't that how the flipped...
Is that the thing?
I have never seen Mordane, but I thought for sure they'll figure out that the other 3 are WoW bosses. And they'll
Well, once they get into the later stuff, like with Pee-wee and all those guys.
Yeah.
Nefarian and Manoroth, I knew were WoW, but I'd forgotten about Archimonde.
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
Archie Mondi.
Archie Mondi.
I like to call him. Yeah.
Archie
Mondi. Good old Archie Mondi. All right. I feel good about that. We're tied up still. 3-3.
Yeah. Very good. Going into question two. And this one is a little bit different. Normally, I would ask you for the real answers. I'm going to ask you for the fictional answers on this one. Which of these six cereals are fictional? So fictional breakfast cereals.
Are you cereal?
I'm cereal. We have Crickly Wicklies, Crunchy Logs, Coco Rockies, Twinkles, Yummy Mummy, and Crazy Crisps.
Shite. Crazy with a K.
Crazy. That's how you know that, it's really
that's
crazy.
That's what worries me. If it had been two C's, I would have been like, oh, that's absolutely a thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Twinkles? Mm-hmm. What the frick
Twinkles?
Is that? All right, I'm going with two. I don't know this.
Okay.
Brian, what are you doing there? Right. What do you got?
All right, you've locked in.
I chickened out.
So Yummy Mummy is...
That's seasonal.
It's seasonal. It's the one that comes out with Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Fruit Brute.
Oh, God, do we say... I read that backwards. I thought you meant...
I said it a bunch of times, and I'm looking fictional. I'm looking for the fictional breakfast cereals.
I did the same thing, Brian. Don't feel
bad.
Totally
heard that backwards.
Don't feel bad. I did the same thing.
You guys both did the same thing.
Brian was obviously very clear about it, but... Oh, I got one of them right.
He was.
I got one of them right. Coco Rockies is fictional. Coco Rockies actually was featured on a Coco Pebbles television ad.
Yeah.
Crickly Wicklies you can find on Green Acres. It's the cereal they eat on Green Acres. And Crazy Crisps is actually from a Geico ad.
So hold on, could I get those? Really, they count as real cereals if they were. I mean, can I buy Crickly Wicklies?
They're fictional.
No,
those are fictional. See,
I'm still doing it.
Green Acres is a television show. You see?
No. I'm still doing the exact same damn thing.
I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
I'm still
trying to pick the fake ones. Anyway,
what blows my mind is Crunchy Logs is an actual cereal, and of course, it would have to be made by Kellogg's.
Oh, Kellogg's.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Twinkles are General Mills, as is Yummy Mummy. All right, let's get back to real answers. Three of these are rock albums that feature an elephant on the cover. Which of these three albums feature an elephant on the cover? Your choices are Tusk by Fleetwood Mac, Music from Big Pink by The Band, Electric Ladyland by Jimi Hendrix, Armed Forces by Elvis Costello, Oxamoxoa by The Grateful Dead, and Toys in the Attic by Aerosmith. Three of those actually do feature an elephant on the cover. Which three are they?
Mm.
Well, let's talk about the elephant on the cover.
I'm going to have to guess here because I don't know very much.
Shish. Stop pressuring me. I messed up last time. Now I'm nervous.
I don't have any idea here. So I'm guessing two. Two are guesses. Okay.
All right. Scott's
two are
locked
guesses.
In.
I'm going to go. I'm going to just do one. I'm chicken.
All right. You guys both locked in on Oxamoxoa by the Grateful Dead, a palindromic album title. Features a lot of animal or a lot of weird shit on the cover, but none of which is an
Dang
elephant,
it.
Unfortunately.
Damn it.
Music from Big Pink by the band Armed Forces.
I could see a freaking elephant on there. Right.
Armed Forces by Elvis Costello. Two album covers available for that one. The second one is like splattered paint in the shape of Elvis Costello. Toys in the Attic by Aerosmith features a little stuffed elephant in the attic with the other toys.
I just played Tusk from Fleetwood Mac, and that's the only reason I knew that one. Didn't otherwise it seemed like an obvious one, right?
Because it's got a dog on the cover, like a blurry dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was there a dog named Tusk? Oh, hold it up. Let's see. Ah, look
dog,
at that.
Dog pulling on somebody's pant leg.
Is it a dog named Tusk?
No.
Do we know?
No, I don't know. I don't know what the significance
what's
of the
your
album
name,
title
Mr.
or.
I want to. I would. Or. I could see naming a dog Tusk if he had like a weird tooth or something.
Tusk.
Yeah, if he had like one tooth, like a broke. That'd be cool.
Sure. Sure, I'd be down.
Yes. All right. So, congratulations going to. Well, it's a tie.
Nobody.
It's a tie.
Nobody.
You have a breaker.
So here's what we're gonna do. I don't have a tie. You know what? I have a tiebreaker. All right.
Toss that coin.
Careful with that back.
Oh, man, that hurt.
Okay. It's the only one you're going to get. They only have new backs coming at this stage. You got to keep the one you got.
Okay. Closest to the correct answer wins. Let's see here. We'll decide who goes first. In Back to the Future Part 2, what was the 2015 price for a gallon of regular unleaded gas?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
How much
Jesus
did it cost per gallon of gas in Back to the Future 2 in Biff World?
Biff World.
Let's say... I'm going to say $40.
Okay, Brian, do you have a guess?
Holy hell, I don't think it was that much. I think it was like $2.57 or something. I don't know. It was crazy, but not crazy crazy, right?
I don't know. Was it?
Nope. Closest to the actual answer of $8.37 is Brian Dunaway. Yeah, in early drafts, the time machine was a refrigerator. We knew that instead of DeLorean. $8.37 for a gallon of gas in 2015 in Biffland. So Brian and therefore Luke get the prizes. And our prizes today, Luke, you're getting a copy of Tribes of Midgard and Ollie Ollie World Rad Edition.
Nice. But, an awesome game, by the way. Very cool game. Cool. I'm going to love that.
Yeah.
But don't worry, Brian and Lothian, Maryland, you're going to get a copy of Conan Chop Chop.
I do not know what Conan Chop Chop is.
Conan Chop Chop.
Don't know what
Conan
that is.
Is that a minigame?
I don't know what it
is. I don't know what it is.
It sounds like Conan. It almost sounds like a mobile game with Conan in it, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
It's not, obviously. It's on Steam. Real quick here.
Luke, put down your blue milk. You're getting some games.
Have we thought hard and long about how weird, how different Back to the Future would be had they gone with that fridge idea?
Oh, God, yes.
It's freaking terrible. Half the movie is cool because of the DeLorean, I'm telling you. It's such a terrible idea.
For sure. Plus all the kids who would put themselves in refrigerators because they saw it on Back to the Future. It's what a horrendous idea.
Well, kids aren't stupid. Oh
wait. Wait
a minute. Strike that. Reverse it.
We had a kid in our neighborhood when I was younger. I was probably right around then. I was probably a teenager. Some young kid got himself locked in a fridge that was in a backyard, like an old not using one, like not not plugged in, I guess. So it was empty, and he got himself locked in there, and they had to have some locksmith and two cops come and break this kid out.
You kids today, I just had another birthday, and you kids today might not remember the doors used to like have little hint and it would lock into place. It wasn't just a magnet.
Today.
Yeah. Today, you and your kids here, easy magnets. You just push your way out now. Bunch of babies.
Yeah. Anyway, you could get out of there.
Well, I think that's good prize packages for both our winner and our loser today. And apologies to our loser for me
There's no loser. There's a winner, and then there's less of a winner.
Yeah.
How's that?
There's winner, and there's winner junior. Okay? Think of it as a smaller burger. You're not as hungry as usual. You want a smaller version of the Big Mac. That's right.
Chicken microwave nuggets. Dinner.
That's right. Microwave dinner.
Right. Microwave dinner. There you go.
Dunaway, it's always a pleasure having you on. And tomorrow night, you and I will do an episode of Play Retro where we talk all about that Ape Escape game and a little bit around the idea of what PlayStation 1 games were like at the time and why that game is still great.
The first mandatory dual stick controller that came out of the PlayStation. You had to have it if you wanted to play Ape Escape.
Yeah, and that was a tricky thing to do because the machine didn't come with the dual stick, with the DualShock 1. Mm-hmm. That came later. So it was like buying an accessory, and you had to do it to play the game. Here's the weird thing. That's a series I think could be rebooted and rad. I don't know why they don't do something new with that. So we'll talk about that, too. Tomorrow on Play Retro, live if you would like to watch it at 3:30 Mountain Time at frogpants.tv. If you would rather catch it later, you can get the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Brian Dunaway, is there anything else you'd like to tell us? Eat a poo. All right, bye. I think he thought I was going to cut him off, so he really had nothing.
He really had nothing. I know. He was really hoping for a quicker cutoff, I believe.
Yeah, that's a real shame. All right. Well, it's time for the news, folks. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
The new cat in the neighborhood. It almost sounds like the beginning of Charles in Charge.
It does a little bit.
There's a new cat in the neighborhood.
Your memory of that is a little too good. Did you watch a lot of Charles in Charge?
I swear on a stack of Bibles, I have never watched an episode of Charles in Charge. I just happen to know the theme song from covers.
Well, then what that tells me is that that was a catchy song that a lot of people wanted to make a version of. So there you go.
I think so. Yes. A version is the right word.
There's this giant Maine Coon that showed up as a stray, and he's got all the pets in the house freaked the F out. He's not even been in the house or anything. They're just seeing him out the window. No, the dogs are losing it.
Yeah,
he's too big. He's like a dog sized cat, and it's freaking these dogs out. Real quick, this is actually a good time to do this. Tell me about the movie you saw. I'm dying to know what you went and saw.
I went and saw Tina approved it. Was good about seeing it. Freaking Cocaine Bear.
Oh my lord. Yes. I thought you were gonna say, oh, we got a sneak peek at John Wick 4, we got, you know, something like that. But Cocaine Bear.
Tina, I said we've canceled our AMC A-list subscriptions. We're no longer going to be going to AMC because of their crappy lax attitude about people who talk in theaters. We're switching next month to Alamo Drafthouse because there's one close by. And I gave a ride to one of the chefs at Alamo, and he's like, you know, the only thing that comes frozen in that place are the things that we throw in the deep fryer. Everything else is handmade there. I'm like, really? All right, we're switching.
All right. Yeah, why not?
It took that and the fact that they have a zero tolerance policy about jackasses in the theater.
Is it priced similarly, so you don't, you know, have to pay much
more? It's the same price as A-list, but I don't know if it has all the other conveniences. There's no IMAX or 3D with Alamo Drafthouse. Right. Fine with me. We never really go see those movies anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see and report back.
Yeah, I want to hear how that goes. But Cocaine Bear, was it good?
Cocaine Bear is Elizabeth Banks taking everything that she learned from Judd Apatow and making I thought it was going to be a little bit. I knew it was going to be kind of comedy. I mean, it's Cocaine Bear, but I didn't realize how almost slapsticky comedy it turned out to be. It was fun. It was dumb fun. We enjoyed it. I'm glad I saw it before we thought about film sacking it, because I feel like it's not super sacky.
Really?
maybe it is. Maybe, you know, when eventually it becomes goes on streaming again, I can I'll change my mind. But it was the fact that it's based on a true story. I forgot we were going to look that up and just see how, like, what part of it was true. Obviously, there was cocaine that fell in the woods out of a plane, and
my understanding is all that happened was the bear ate it and he died.
Yeah, I think that's really it. There was no
he overdosed.
Park ranger. I mean, there were hijinks, Scott. It was a movie full of hijinks.
Yeah, I bet it was hijinks. Wall-to-wall hijinks is what it sounds like.
Wall-to-wall hijinks.
Is it worthy of Ray Liotta's final film appearance, though?
You know? Well, it's better than League of Extraordinary Gentlemen for Sean Connery, or
Street Fighter 2 for Raul Julia.
Yeah, Street Fighter 2 for Raul Julia. What did we figure out was the John Candy one? It turned out not to be Wagons.
Canadian Bacon. Yeah.
Canadian Bacon. Yeah.
Which is not a step up, sadly, from Wagons East. Wagons East is a better movie than Canadian Bacon.
I think so.
Exactly. Which tells you. But, you know, this thing has like Margot Martindale and Ray Liotta and freaking Shea Jackson Jr. I like these people. Kerry Russell, for heaven's sakes.
All people playing very kind of stereotype characters for this sort of thing.
Yeah, Shea Jackson Jr. I think is that's Ice Cube's kid, isn't it? I think. Let me check. Yeah,
Ice Cube's kid is in Cocaine Bear. I didn't realize that was Shea.
That's him. Yeah, he's from. He played his dad in Straight Outta Compton.
Oh, sure. That makes sense.
It's just kind of a cool thing to do. Play your own dad, you know?
Yep.
Unless you don't like your dad.
He was great. I mean, everybody was really, really good. But don't go into it thinking it's going to be... I mean, again, you're not going to go into Cocaine Bear thinking it's going to be anything serious or thought-provoking. But I was kind of expecting a little bit more... I don't know. I don't want to disparage it. It was fun. It was exactly what we were kind of expecting and kind of what we needed. So
all right.
It was good.
And Tina's overall on it, her take? Did she,
Tina liked it. Yeah. Tina, she liked it more than Everything Ever All at Once. I don't know how, but but she did.
That's funny. Well, you know, everybody needs their own thing when they need it. It's
exactly,
all good.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
All right. We're going to get this story in for sure. A man has sued Buffalo Wild Wings. We've talked about a similar story before, but he claims pricey boneless wings are basically nuggets. So this is yet another person who's like, you call the thing boneless. They're really just nuggets. They're not wings.
We call them wings. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not
wings. They definitely deliver on the boneless part. They don't necessarily deliver on the wings
part. Yeah. Nobody actually pulled wings out and left what's left. So this Chicago guy filed a class action lawsuit against Buffalo Wild Wings, saying the restaurant chain is charging too much for its boneless wings, which are basically nuggets and not made of actual wings of chicken. Eamon Hallam.
That's a weird name.
Yeah. Gollum. Filed a complaint this week against the restaurant and Inspire Brands. I guess they own the thing. U.S. District Court in Northern Illinois, according to the court documents obtained by Fox television stations, he contends the boneless wings are not actually part of the chicken, but instead slices of chicken breast meat deep fried like wings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my answer to that is fine.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't understand the litigious nature of this whole boneless wings thing. I just eat fine.
I don't either. It's like, yeah, of course they're, you're not, no one's going to go to the effort of pulling the bones out of wings, holding them together somehow, dipping them in batter and deep frying them. And newsflash for this guy, some of the wings you get are drumettes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Drumettes. I like that.
Drumettes.
That sounds like the name of a high school marching band, the Drumettes.
Right. The Drumettes. It's all female marching band.
Yeah, yes. They'll be performing at this year's homecoming game. Get good seats while you can.
That's right.
He claimed the purchase of the boneless wings in January, that after learning what they're made of, that they aren't wings with bones removed, he said he regretted his decision. Now, this is when the lawyer says after that, quote, as a result, he suffered a financial injury as a result of the defendant's false and deceptive conduct. Oh, come on. You bought an order of wings.
Right.
Boneless wings. They weren't wings with bones removed. You didn't lose any. What'd you lose? $8? What'd you lose?
Right, right. Exactly.
And also, they're not the only ones that do boneless wings. I know tons of places that sell them as that.
Do they call them boneless wings, though? They do? Okay.
Yeah, the place up the road here we go to called... the Break. They have boneless wings right there on the menu. Mm-hmm. Bing, bang, boom. I don't know. I think this is stupid. This is a little bit like, what's another thing where, like, if someone said Boston baked beans, and then you bought a carton of them, took them home, and went, these are candy. These aren't at all like baked beans from Boston. Like, come on.
There's no beans in these. It's peanuts.
Yeah.
That's a good example. Or, what else? I know that there's other things. I'm trying to think of like a fast food example. This meal didn't make me happy.
Mm-hmm. How about the McRib? It's not a rib.
No.
It doesn't have quotes on it. No.
Yeah.
Did someone sue them? I don't know. Maybe they did. But the McRib is not a rib. It's made of like weird pork extras, and it's all mushed into
pressed,
a thing.
Pressed into a rib shape.
Yeah, a rib shaped hole. And that's not a rib.
No. No.
Maybe little bits of the meat came from a rib. I don't know.
Could pork be rib meat. Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, this guy, I think I hate this kind of stuff. So yeah, I hope he loses his stupid lawsuit.
I hope he wastes a lot of his own time and regrets his actions.
If you lose, then you're really going to feel bad about what you spent, because that lawyer ain't going to be for free. Here's a story. Former One Life to Live star. Mm-hmm. Forbes, I don't know what that means. Or is it?
I think it's the first name of this person is Forbes.
Forbes March is their name.
Forbes March, yes, is their name.
That's a rough one because I thought at first it was Star Forbes. They got a weird name. Gotcha. You know what I'm saying?
And then they were marched while they were arrested.
Yeah, that was weird. Anyway, former One Life to Live star Forbes March arrested for theft of used cooking oil. It's pretty weird.
This is really weird.
Yeah, this is a funky story, but I like it. Forbes March, former soap actor who did stints on One Light to Live, All My Children, and As the World Turns, was arrested in Hudson County, New York earlier this month and charged with grand larceny for the alleged theft of used cooking oil from a diner. The cooking oil was an estimated value of more than $1,000, according to the police department there. They alleged, he siphoned it in March, and then a second man, Oscar Gerardo, from a storage container, he did that too, from a storage container owned by a company called Buffalo Biodiesel. Nothing to do with Buffalo Wild Wings.
But there's no buffalo in those either.
No.
There's no buffalo in that biodiesel. Mm-hmm.
There's no buffalo. That's the other thing. Why don't you sue about the name Buffalo Wings? Those aren't buffalo.
No, but they're buffalo style. That one would be harder to disprove.
It's all stupid. Anyway, they did this in a tank behind the diner. The two men were released following their arrests. Used cooking oil can be used to manufacture biofuels, and the theft has been on the rise throughout the Northeast region in recent years as fuel prices have increased. In an interview last year, Summit Mujumdar, the president of Buffalo Biodiesel, said the thefts have cost his company millions of dollars. It's ballooning, he said. It's wiping out a third of our business. To put that in numbers, $10 million to $15 million a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So the bigger question is why? I mean, I guess he's down on his luck and not getting new gigs in the world of soap operas.
Must be. Yeah. And just needs some cooking oil, I guess. Because it's not like there's like a black market. I've got 8 drums of cooking oil. How much? How much you want them?
Yeah. Because the used stuff gets converted into what? Like diesel fuel? And
biodiesel. Yeah.
Right. And then you can sell that. I guess if you steal it, you sell it for 100% profit.
But I mean, it's got to be tough. I don't think you just go to a fencer to say, all right, here you go, convert this into biodiesel. You have to go to a refinery of some sort that can do it. So
yeah, it doesn't come out right.
They're going to ask a lot of questions as to where you got this.
Because you don't just take it. You don't take it straight from the fryer and put it right into a tank. There is that process, right?
It's got to be some sort of refining going on.
I assume so, yeah. Otherwise, you got like little bits of chicken wings and things.
or pressed breast pieces.
Oh, right.
Not chicken wings. Yeah.
Strips of breast meat.
Strips of breast meat.
Let's get that straight. Final story. We got a minute here. Arizona family discovers a bobcat has taken over their dog's bed. Oh boy. Oh boy.
I just want to sleep here.
That's a
horrible bobcat Goldthwait impersonation. Are you kidding me?
That's not terrible. He's changed his thing to be normal now. So, you know, I haven't heard it in a while. So you could convince me. It's fine.
That was absolutely. Rainbow Bright is correct. That was bad. But I've never tried a bobcat Goldthwait before. So. Take pity on me.
We haven't talked about how Lance Reddick died. That reminded me of that for some reason. I don't know why.
Because he sounded a lot like Bobcat Goldthwait.
Oh, I know why. Because I was watching Paradise PD, and there was an episode with Affleck. What's his name?
Oh, Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Godfrey. Freed Fred.
Gilbert Godfrey. Godfrey.
That's the one. And same episode had Lance Reddick in it. And I think of Gilbert Gottfried, or when I think of Bobcat Goldthwait, I think of Gottfried, and then it made me think of Lance Hendrickson, jeez.
Reddick.
Lance Reddick, who died way too soon, and that's really shitty. Yeah. He just tweeted like 3 days ago stuff about his dogs, and he has these funny dogs. He's this like really funny guy on Twitter.
I know.
Great follow on there. It must have been a heart attack or something because he was doing fine. He was scheduled for a bunch of interviews. He's in John Wick 4. Like the guy's got a lot going on.
Fantastic in Bosch.
Yeah.
Fringe.
Lost. Yeah. What else?
He drove Jeremy Bentham around. He helped drive Jeremy Bentham around.
Oh,
man.
My Lord. John Wick 1 through 3 and now 4. He was awesome, that guy. Yeah,
he was awesome.
Just
the
so
most
cool.
Recognizable voice.
He talked like this. Yeah.
Hush, I don't like you going out on your own like this.
it's just garbage that he died. I hate it.
It is.
Take someone who sucks. Can we do that?
Yeah. I could give you a list.
I got a list. I'm not going to say him here because someone will be mad, but I got a list. I got a list that's easy to read.
Yeah, very easy.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher will join us. We didn't have him last week because he had a thing, and now he's back. So we're very excited to have good old Steven back. That'll happen in a moment, but Brian has to introduce a song before we get there.
Yeah, boy, this is a musician that that I've followed a lot. He's released his 9th studio album called Fantasy. It's a guy who's named Anthony Gonzalez, but he performs under the name M83. His 9th studio album is out via Mute Records. Big thanks to Mute Records for this one. This is great. Excuse me, great stuff. And I think you guys are going to get a kick out of it. The first song, the first single from the album is Amnesia. Almost forgot that I was going to play this. Here is M83 from the brand new album Fantasy.
I want you to understand something. I married a woman young enough to be my daughter.
I don't want you dating my daughter. I don't want you dating my daughter.
The Morning Stream. If I tilt my head to the side, I sound better.
Oops. Okay, who was that again? That band there?
Sure. That is M83, a.k.a. Anthony Gonzalez, from a brand new album, Fantasy, his 9th studio album, and a song called Amnesia.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yes.
Okay, so Steven's on his way in here.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about a couple of things.
Oh, I would give a PS, little PSA, public service announcement.
Okay.
If you, like me, are catching up on the television show Luther, starring Idris Elba, in anticipation of watching the movie that just dropped on Netflix, and all those episodes are on Hulu, they're only on Hulu for the next 12 days.
Oh.
12 days to watch all 20 episodes of Luther, which I'm kind of predicting is just going to Netflix. Because of the movie there, like,
oh, that's what I was going to ask, because maybe they were going to transfer it. Yeah,
but who knows? I'm not taking that chance. And my God, it's great! What a great
Luther's
show!
Awesome, yeah. We watched that whole series.
The movie is really, really good.
It's good, right?
Is it? Cool.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
I've heard really good things. Oh, speaking of which,
and now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
All right, Steven Schleicher is joining us. He is a huge freaking nerd.
Yeah, I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah, it's new. I like to surprise you with things. Hey, Steven, welcome back. It's been a bit here, been a minute. We missed you.
Well, yeah. Thank you, Scott. Happy equinox to you, and happy equinox to Brian.
Yeah, first day of spring. Thank goodness. Yeah, no snow forever from now on.
Yes, please. That'd be great.
Balance those eggs, everybody.
I've had, so they're telling us we're all under like a bunch of flood watch worries because there's so much accumulation in the mountains. They're almost sure the runoff's going to cause some trouble spots. We're one of the potential ones, although in the one we're in, we're in the highest part of it. So it's possible it would have to really be bad to get to us, but there are people not far from me that could be under flood risk and that. So we're all a little freaked out about that. And it rained today. So just keep that moisture coming. Keep that moisture, as my parents would say.
We need that. We're supposed to get rain this week. So I'm hoping that we get a ton of it because we need it. This town needs a wash.
Yeah, wash that thing out, man. Jeez Louise, a dirty ass city living. Jeez.
That's right.
Steven, it's good to have you here. We're going to talk about some nerd stuff, specifically how Shazam 2 didn't do all that well at the box office, despite decent reviews. It seemed like it, you know, reviewed okay.
The reviews are mixed. Some people definitely say that this is a darker film than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I took my youngest to see the first Shazam film years ago when it first came out in theaters. He loved the movie. For years, he's like, oh, this is my favorite movie. This is my favorite movie, until he saw Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. But when the trailer for the second film dropped, he watched it and he's like, man, I don't think I'm that interested in it. Mm. And I asked him, hey, do you want to go see Shazam 2 this week? And he's like, I don't know. Maybe can we just wait until it comes out on video?
Mm.
And I think that's what a lot of people are doing because the movie only brought in something like $30 million in the box office on opening weekend. They need to at least clear $200 million worldwide in order to break even on the film.
Oof.
So, yeah, they've got a ways to go. Now, the first film, Shazam, its opening weekend was only $53 million, and it ended with $366 million. So it actually made money over the entire box office run, but didn't do so well.
I think people might be having hero fatigue and saving themselves mostly for Marvel stuff. But even then, I think people are just feeling a little fatigued on it.
Maybe.
That could be wrong.
I don't know if it's superhero fatigue or maybe it's just probably superhero fatigue is probably the answer. It's not definitely not comic book fatigue.
No, mm-hmm. no. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that. I think it's just like, okay, another one of these. Oh, wait, but I haven't even saw the last four of these. Wait, another one of these? Like, I think there's a little bit of that going on. Could be wrong, but I wonder if... those guys over the new team at DC, James Gunn and crew, they have to be looking at this and thinking a lot about how they're going to approach this next phase because they don't want to lean in. They don't want to lead into it with just really shitty numbers. You know what I mean?
Well, like, the good thing is all that stuff is under the old regime. That's all before Discovery took over. That's long before James Gunn and the other guy, Safran, were brought in. So it kind of doesn't count, maybe.
I mean, it doesn't count against him per se, but it counts as like a metric for them to have to pay attention to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like which, to be honest, is probably up. That's the only thing that they can go from there.
That's true. I do like Rachel Zegler a lot. She played, she was in that Sharks versus the whatever. What the hell was that called? What's the Spielberg movie that got,
Sharknado?
No. The Spielberg movie last year was nominated for Best Picture. Freaking, it's remake
The Fablemans?
Year before that. The remake of the old one.
West Side
effing story. Oh. Gosh dang it.
Sharks and jets. Sharks, you know, sharks versus jets.
Anyway, she was Maria in that, and I like her, and she plays Athena in this, I think. Athena? Cool. Whatever it is. I like her. Anyway, I was wrong about the reviews. It's only 52% on Rotten Tomatoes. I thought it was higher. John Wick 4 is currently at 93 for John Wick. Man, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Gotta go see that.
Will that get you to the theater?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. John Wick 4?
Okay.
I'll go see that. Yeah, we got a brand new theater over here, so we're gonna go try that out over there, I think. It's not a dump like the one that I used to go to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so what do you think? You think it'll clear its $200 million budget and be okay in the end, or no?
I think it will make more than $200 million in the
long run. Yeah,
I think it'll clear its budget and promotion. So the thing to keep in mind for people that aren't aware, there is the movie's budget, which is how much it cost to actually make the movie, and then there is the printing and advertising, which is how much did it cost to market it. So $110 million to make, $100 million to market, you usually say it's double whatever the budget was. Mm-hmm. And so you're looking at, you know, $210 million. So I think they'll get very close to that.
Okay, well, good for them if they do, I suppose. Is John Wick 4 even out? Is it in pre-release?
It's not out. It's in pre-release right now.
Okay. Yeah. It has a ton of reviews already. I guess they were confident.
Yeah, the media reviews. I actually just got a thing from AMC this morning before the show saying, hey, reserve your ticket to go see John Wick 4. Like, yeah, I will, but not with you guys. Bye.
Wow. Well, apparently this thing is...
You want to pay the higher seat prices to get the good seats?
Well, with A-List, I don't need to do that. Like, it's, you know, you get, by paying your stupid $20 a month, you get to pick any seat in the theater of any kind of showing you want. I just, the experience of the people around us talking and pulling out their phones is just enough to take us away to a theater that has a no-tolerance policy about it.
Mm.
It's happening. Finally, Brian is starting to see
my side of the argument. Believe me, you've heard my stories on this show. I get so irritated with the other people in the theater. Yeah. But
You're going to have a way better time there. I'm sure of it.
I'm hoping so. The one thing I don't like about Alamo Drafthouse is they usually come and have you pay the bill during the climax of the film. So it's like,
oh really?
You know, they crawl down low in the row in front of you, in the row of the seats in front of you. And then they like, here's your bill. And it's like, wait a minute. The bad guy has the gun on the good guy. We could do this later.
Yeah. That's weird. I didn't realize that. I thought you paid up front for everything you're going to do.
No. You pay at the end of the, show. Claire, Alamo Draft House has a food and beverage service during the film. So you place your order before the movie starts. And then they come and collect. They give you the bill at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Well, that might be interesting during John Wick. We'll see what scene they do it in. We'll see. My favorite review for it is the Emery Brothers plot calls to mind John Woo classics and elevates this fourth chapter above all its predecessors. Ooh.
Lots of dubs.
Ooh, I'm in. I'm all in. Well, yeah. I love John Woo
slow
movies.
Slow motion dubs.
Tell us about James Gunn directing Superman, because that is big news, right? It felt like a thing where he went in there and went, all right, so we got this lineup coming up. I'm going to get on the internet and tell everyone, okay, I've done that. Okay, now we're working on what's next and who's doing it. Wow, shit, I'll just go ahead and do Superman. Is that what happened?
Pretty much. I mean, they spent a lot of time up in, I believe, Utah, or maybe it was Nevada, coming up with the next 10-year plan. And one of them is definitely we need a new, better Superman story. And at first, James Gunn was just going to write the script. And now it was announced that he is going to direct Superman Legacy, which will be the first movie in phase one of the Gods and Monsters DC movie universe that's already been announced. And it's interesting if you read this article over at Variety where James Gunn is talking about, you know, they approached me years ago to direct a Superman movie. And I said no, because I just couldn't figure out a way into the character. And then he says a couple of years ago, his father passed away. And he was like, well, my father was this huge influence on, you know, he didn't understand or didn't like the, you know, the comic books or whatever, but he encouraged me to do this. He encouraged me to get into film and all of this. And he says he owes a lot to his father. And so I think the passing of his father gave him that in to say, okay, where does Superman stand in terms of this? And if you've ever read Superman, what is it? Last Son of Krypton. I forget what the book is.
I think it's, that's Grant right. Morris,
yeah, the Grant Morrison story really looks at what does Superman think about being a god among humans. And this movie is going to, according to the log line, is Superman is coming to grips with his Kryptonian ancestry as being an aristocrat, but also being raised by Kansas farm folk. And how has that, you know, changed his view on his role as a protector? And
right.
So I think that that's going to be a very interesting look at that. And of course, if you've seen the trailers for Guardians of the Galaxy, the third film that's coming out, you know that that's going to be a tearjerker. So I for imagine sure. that this will also pull on those heartstrings of family and loss and what it means to lose a loved one and those kinds of things, and coming to grips with that. So I anticipate a lot of wet faces coming out of that theater.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm excited about it. It's a little unusual for him in that most of his work is, you know, the hallmark is like, hey, we're taking these weird misfits and making a movie out of it. And he did that really well with both Suicide Squad's reboot. And his, you know, take on Guardians. So to have him take a more serious approach, which I think Superman kind of needs, and I don't mean serious like dark, and I don't mean that. I mean like, you know, a more human approach to it and a little less wackadoo. Yeah. That'll be an interesting turn for him. So I'm actually really looking forward to it.
I think I think you can still have a lot of fun with Superman, especially if you go back and look at Superman in the Silver Age, where there's a lot of wackiness that goes on there. And even in the 90s where you have Superman Red and Superman Blue. I think, and I hope, I think that's the key word there, is that James Gunn focuses on Superman's ability to get people to be hopeful when it's dark.
Yeah.
And this week on the Major Spoilers podcast, we're actually looking at a Superman book from Tom King, where he has to go and rescue an orphan girl on the other end of space for no other reason than he made a promise. It's really good. And I know a lot of people are very flip-floppy on Tom King, but Superman Up in the Sky is a great book, and we're going to talk about it this week on the show. And so if he can even bring a little bit of that into Superman Legacy, I think it'll be a great film.
Well, look forward to it, everybody. Coming up, what did we say on that one, 2025 or something?
This one says 2025, but Gunn and Safran have also both come out and said, hey, look, people are too reliant on release dates. When it's ready, it'll come out. But for right now, I guess because of stockholder prices and everything, that we have to put a release date on this.
Tag a date onto
but,
it.
So, but still, if it fluctuates, then don't get too freaked out. Like, I know people are, the minute that it moves, people are gonna be like, see, DC can't do it. James Gunn with the wrong choice. It's just like, good Lord, people, movies change dates all of the time.
Yeah.
Right.
Just give it a chance.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I would much rather have a really, really great film than one that's rushed into production and into post just to hit a release date, to hit a metric date or a milestone date.
Mm-hmm.
That's the opposite way of how art should be created.
I was going to say that I feel a certain measure of apprehension about the day we hear who is being cast as Superman. Because the internet is terrible with this stuff now. Like, we're really, really on fire when something like this gets announced, for good or for bad. And that pending announcement, I'm going to hate that lead up. I'm going to try to ignore it. Whoever it is will be fine. I'm not worried about that. I'm just like, let it happen. And then I'm going to ignore everybody for a couple of weeks until the poop stops getting thrown. And then we'll move on. And it happens every time. When Henry Cavill was cast, everybody was so freaking negative. And now that he's not Superman anymore, everybody is so freaking negative. It's just totally ridiculous. So I, you know, it's the only thing worse in movie freakouts for me anyway is when a new Joker is announced. Anytime a new Joker gets announced, the whole world loses its effing mind. And I hate it. So this time I know it's coming. This way I'll know it's on its way. I'm not going to be naive about it, and I'll know when to ignore everybody. As soon as he says, and we've decided we're casting, I don't know who it'll be, Timothée
Chalamet.
There you go. Oh, my Lord.
As the Joker.
Can you imagine
working out
if you made Timothée Chalamet the Joker, who might not be a bad pick.
Might not be bad, but still. I mean,
people will lose their shit.
The kids got rage. We probably know it won't be Affleck. We can pretty much determine no more Affleck in the DC universe.
Well, yeah, he's not. That ain't getting announced. So,
I'm just saying he's said, I am not doing anything further with DC.
Yeah. Plus, I think we all thought he was kind of done anyway, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
We get him in The Flash, but.
Is he in The Flash?
No, we get a little cameo of Affleck.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. More Michael Keaton, but still.
That's soon, right? When's that? Soon?
That's later this year.
See, yeah, if I were DC, I'd be nervous about that thing's performance. Because
they should be. They really should be.
Yeah, if they think Shazam 2 sucked, ooh boy, it's going to be rough.
I think we talked about this before, but essentially it is the Flashpoint storyline from DC Comics, which was the huge resetting of the DC universe, 10 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
So for them to say, yes, let's let Flash get out there, let's close out all that's come before, and then let's start fresh with Superman Legacy, I think that's a great idea. And as far as who will be the new Superman, I predict we will know within the next 4 months.
All right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right.
Because Comic-Con is coming.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's soon, right? July?
That's a good place. It's a good place to make that announcement. Yeah,
oh my gosh.
Sure.
Yep. Yeah, and there's an interesting back and forth in the chat. There's a lot of people quite liked his Batman, Affleck's Batman.
I liked his Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of non-committal about that entire era. It's like, it was fine. I didn't really have that great a time. I don't really have any strong feelings about it. My favorite Bruce Wayne. I don't know if I even have one. Do I have one?
Oh, by far. The easy answer is Val Kilmer.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's the obvious answer.
Yeah, the obvious easy one.
I think Bale is my favorite Batman and Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. I have some problems with his Batman, but I don't like how he looks like a bobblehead in the final two movies, and I don't like...
That's true, yeah.
I don't like his gruff voice thing. I thought that was the worst.
But I mean, you know, otherwise it's like one connected cowl that like, I can't... Sorry, Riddler, could you stand in front of me? Because I can't quite turn my head to look at you.
You're not wrong. Like, from a practical standpoint, that's the way you should go.
But it is like a little Funko Pop neck.
But his whole,
go back and watch the Val Kilmer movie only for his Bruce and Batman performances, and you'll probably change your mind.
All right.
Really? Okay. All right. Yeah,
No, I wasn't. If you go and watch him as a person who needs psychological help, I think Val Kilmer does a fantastic job as Batman in that movie.
Well,
If you want to see a Batman and Superman combo, the best bet, obviously, is Ben Affleck, who's played both Superman and Batman.
Okay. How about, wait a minute, when did he play Superman? When did that happen?
He did it in the biopic of George Reeves in Superman.
Completely forgot about that. Right. The one that was about his life and death, I guess.
He has to go and dress up as Superman in many instances and deal with that fame as George Reeves. And it's a great performance.
Totally forgot about that. That's crazy. All right. Well, there you have it, everybody. Lots of fun stuff happening. If you want to go check out more and a bunch of great podcasts and other stuff, check out majorspoilers.com. Steven, anything going on you'd like to mention?
Oh, man, I really want to push people over to Critical Hit. If you haven't been listening to Critical Hit in a long time, we've got a new campaign going where we get to punch Nazis and Cthulhus and all sorts of other monstrosities. It is a fun time. We're having a blast doing it. And it's very early. We're only into like 4 or 5 episodes have been released. So people can get on that right now.
Are there any Cthulhus with Nazi affiliation? So you can punch
That's kind of the whole point about Octoon Cthulhu is that Nazis are trying to control the Cthulian monsters so that they can take over the world.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
If I knew a Cthulhu who was Nazi or was a Nazi, or even if just one of his tentacles was Nazi, had Nazi tendencies.
Oh, yeah, punch them all. Yeah.
I'd have no trouble punching him. No problem.
Yeah, anytime Cthulhu even started to say the word that starts with F, he'd be down.
There you go. Nailed it. Steven, yeah. It's always a pleasure. You know, spring's here. Winter's ending. You know, it's going to warm up. Do you have any advice for people? It is.
Well, definitely, even though we're going to have plenty of rain and showers because it is spring, make sure that everyone stays hydrated.
Hail hydrated. All right. Bye now.
Nice.
Nicely done, as always. Quick couple of things. The Diablo show will be today, and of course that will be a gnarly one because there was all kinds of stuff happening this weekend in Diablo 4 land. So if you want to catch up on the latest and greatest and how the beta went, I'll be doing a massive Diablo show later today. I don't record those live, but you'll be able to get it on the podcast feed immediately after it's done sometime today. Get more details over at frogpants.com/Diablo, sub to the podcast and check it out. We'll also probably have a pretty interesting core this week as all three of us played, and there's a lot to say about that.
Sure.
Frogpants play stream at 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. today. I'm going to start doing these more regularly and did one over the weekend with Carter, actually two of them. Well, I did a bunch of Diablo stuff, but I also we did our final
Phoenix.
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh, that game's so good.
It is really, really good.
This is like a whole fresh playthrough for me, but I'm loving it. It's so good.
Nice.
But also, Carter and I started a new game called Buckaroo, which is this weird co-op game. You'd love this, Brian, because on my side, my screen, I see something totally different.
Yeah,
she sees
I watched
hers.
That. It's like a very cooperative, like, you know, stand on this seesaw so you can raise up this other area so that I can get to it. And
yeah, and you don't really both see the same thing, so you have to really communicate. And it was so, we're not done. Obviously, we're going to do more parts, but it was such a cool thing. So I don't know what I'm playing today. Probably a little bit of Dyson Sphere program, I think, today, 3 to 5 p.m. So check it out today at 3 o'clock here at frogpants.tv. Soundography 150. Oh, that's baby! Right. Woo!
Our 150th episode of Soundography, if you don't count all of the like special bonus episodes and you got to listen to this and stuff like that. We did our requisite country music star for this season, and it's Shania Twain. We listened to the entire Shania Twain catalog, and I got to say, after listening on that, man, I feel like listening to something else. But I will say that there were parts of it we enjoyed. You're going to find out what those parts are when you listen to Soundography today, soundography.com.
I thought you were going to say, I honestly thought you were going to say, because you said, and honestly, I feel like, and then you went on to say, listening to something else. Yeah. I thought you were going to say, I feel like a woman.
That's where the joke was going.
Oh, that was
man,
the joke?
Because the joke is, man, I feel like listening to something else.
Oh, see, a little too subtle for my brain. I didn't get it.
Apparently so, yes. But thank you for explaining my joke.
No problem. Anyone here, anyone need any help with jokes, I'm here for you. I'll help explain them all. Get you all hooked up. All right, check that out. 150, nice milestone there. I like that. Join us on our Frog Pants Discord, frogpants.com/Discord. There's a big happening TMS zone in there where there's all kinds of little groups and fun stuff happening. So just a reminder, as always, to join us in the community and be part of our Discord. You can also be a part of what supports this place and keeps the lights on at patreon.com/TMS. No commercials ever. Pre-show content every day, couch parties on the weekend, art in the mail, and other great monthly benefits that you can only get if you sign up today for as low as $1 a month at patreon.com/TMS. That is going to do it for us. We need music, though, to go. Do you have music to go?
Yeah, I do. I have music to go. So it's wrapped up in a nice little package that you can take and listen to at your leisure. Craig wrote in and said, "Dear Scott and Brian, on March 18th, it'll have been 1 year since my daughter passed away unexpectedly shortly before her 16th birthday. She was my best friend and was turning into a geeky young adult. Her favorite band was Queen, and Love of My Life was her favorite song. A cover of that, or maybe Who Wants to Live Forever, would be a great tribute to her. Thanks for all the entertainment and distraction that you've provided over this past year." Craig, I'm so sorry, man. That's
awful.
One of the worst things I can imagine. So virtual air hugs coming your way. And Tad Love. A lot of great versions of Love of My Life. Carrie Ellis did one with Brian May that we've played on the show before. This one we haven't played, and it's from a band called the A-Sides Club. And what they do is they record albums that are nothing but covers of one musician or one band, and they came out with their Queen album in 2018 and included this beautiful rendition of Love of My Life. Here is A-Sides Club.
Podcasts like this at frogpants.com.
All right. Well, bye.